Well, hopefully today we can finish.
That's a goal, not always attainable. Like Brother Brian. You find some really good meaty stuff. I appreciate that on Wednesdays. I know it's a challenge because you're going in and you might have your outline that's set up here. Next thing you goes, oh, but what about, and then next thing you know, you're into a study that goes, wow, I know I learned so much more from it. So with that, turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, and we'll start with verse 9. We'll get a set up here. There we go. Paul's prayer. So verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, and that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Let's pray. Father, we again thank you. Thank you that we can look into your word and read of what the Apostle Paul, and learn what he was presenting to the church at Philippi. And as we look at the other epistles on Wednesdays, and Father, we thank you so much that these examples are for us today, and what was going on back then is no different than today. We might have things seeming to be different, but in reality, when we look into it, it's the very same distractions, the very same arguments that were going on when the church was first being established. Father, I thank you that we can never tire of looking into your word. We can never tire of reading your word. We thank you, Father, that like the songs that talked about to tell the old story. And we know that it applies to our lives, that without Jesus Christ, we have nothing. And we wouldn't even know what to look forward to. And we're so thankful that you provided that sacrifice for us, that we can have eternal life, that our sins are forgiven. And as we have learned, that we're being taken care of for our current sins and for our future sins. And Father, we look forward to the day that we won't have to worry about those sins. We won't have to worry about what goes on around us. We'll be in heaven rejoicing around the throne, and we are thankful for that. And we ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So the Apostle Paul, we were learning last week that God sees us in the finished state. He sees us as the ideal project. You know, it's like, you know, how many of us, when we do a project, when it's done, wasn't exactly like we envisioned? Sometimes we need to get it done, and you know, maybe we didn't do it exactly the way we could have done it, or maybe we've picked up a project that we did and we know what we wanted it to do and it functioned fine, but just maybe it wasn't right. So we go in and we tweak it a little bit. Well, fortunately, well, that's what's happening to us today. We're being tweaked. We're being molded into that image of Christ. But God sees us in that perfect form. I can only imagine what it looks like, you know. Like I say, I love working on older cars. I worked on a lot of them through my life. I've got one that's, I think we're approaching 35 years on it. I keep changing things, you know. It's a never-finished project, but it's my therapy. And you always wonder, well, you know, I'm not perfect. God isn't finished with me yet. And that's exactly what we are. And that's what the Apostle Paul, he's pointing out to them, that he's praising God for the Philippians in the partnership with him, not just because they're taking care of him financially, but because they prayed for him. So he's going to pray for them. And, you know, the Christian fellowship that we have is so important. And, you know, we've mentioned it a lot, but, you know, I'm very thankful for the prayer list that Brian puts together on a weekly basis. It catches us up on the new things that we've come across that week. And it allows us to look back and see where answered prayer is. You know, and I can just imagine, you know, the Apostle Paul with, you know, the prayer list that he has. It wasn't a nice, concise, you know, on, you know, one sheet of paper, double-sided, folded in half. Because there's a lot of things in there. And I can just imagine him having scrolls and papers and a great mind to think of, you know, these are my people. Because he called people by name as he was going through praying for them. But his prayer, as it says in verse 9, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more, and in knowledge and in judgment. And it's amazing when you think about what he wants us to do is with that we're going to go more and more knowledge. And when you look at that from to know what's in the Bible. The more we stay in the Bible, the more we're going to learn. The more we're going to understand what God has for us in our lives. In judgment, you know, and in all judgment, it's that we'll be able to discern and judge things. And it's sad that, you know, abounding love toward one another will enable them at that time, but us to more and more do work of the gospel, and Christians who lack that love seem to spend a great deal of time and energy ripping into one another. That's a good way to put it. You know, it's one-upmanship. Well, you know, I read through my Bible 3 times this year. I read through the New Testament 27 times. You know, how many times did you go through it? You know, one of those kinds of things. Or, you know, I went out and I handed out 50 tracts this weekend. How many did you hand out? Well, you know, there's some nice competition in some ways, especially if they're really good friends and they're challenging each other. But, you know, just to go up and show, well, I'm just better than you. You know, I mean, we always tease each other about, you know, my car is better than your car. I've got a friend of mine that keeps sending me a meme of, you know, driving a Ford is like sitting in a dumpster, you know, with your elbow out. But I kept telling him, I says, you know, keep looking at the cars that keep pulling the Chevys back off of the side of the road. They're usually a Ford wrecker. But, you know, we have fun with that. And it's always, you know, a nice friendly competition. But it's sad when people get let little petty things come up and they don't look at what it really does. Especially if you're around other folks and you're trying to have a testimony. And so criticizing one another is something that maybe it should be between the two people if they find an issue. And maybe it's a good discussion. Well, hey, I read this, but you know, and you mentioned it this way. I don't quite see that. That's nice competition or nice kind of working with each other, because it lets you see how this one person says and the other person, and you can draw a conclusion from them. But we're not trying to wreck each other, and that's what Paul's trying to teach here, is that, you know, they need to know that that our tongue gets us in so much trouble if we're not careful. How many times has it said, you know, what's our tongue? It's desperately wicked. And without thinking, we can say things that we don't really mean. You know, maybe somebody says something and that we didn't fully understand the whole concept behind what's there. How many times have us jumped in the middle of a conversation and immediately came up with the conclusion that had we listened to the whole conversation, you know, catch up is what people need to do oftentimes. But Satan will do his best to try to get in there, and he'll sow discord. And the Apostle Paul is letting them know that it's important that he prays that their love may abound. And that love is that Christian love that each one of us has, and it grows more and more as we go through. So, you know, if you were to realize that Satan does find our weaknesses. And when he does, he knows what buttons to push. And there might be that time that we come up and understand that he is the prince of this world. Things that go on around are we get affected by what's going on. But we should realize that when that happens, we can always go, we go to Scripture. And what happens when we go to Scripture? Satan flees, literally, away from us. So, you know, but we also need to realize that there are weak people, the weak ones in the faith. And that prayer that we have, that love that we show, we need to pray that we can help build up the weak and the weak can help build us up. Because there's times when we think we have it all figured out, and somebody that, you know, you might be thinking, well, you know, they're just not doing well. Next thing you know, that person is building you up. And so, you know, we each build each other up in a strength that is, it's just, it's beyond amazement when you really think about that. And looking through there, so, you know, some of the things that that we can think of with this is, why does the gospel suffer when church members aren't united? You know, and if you, you know, disunity, the gospel suffers. And so with disunity between church members, what things might we run into? Austin? Right, distractions. We can undermines that message that's being presented. You know, if there is an era of disunity amongst people, it can be obvious. You know, people can come in and visiting, they might see that difference. And I'm, you know, very thankful that when people come in to visit us, they see a unity here. You know, we're going to keep saying that because it's true. So, you know, they'll undermine, as it says, the gospel message, because the heart of the gospel, God's love, isn't demonstrated. And people that visit here, they will feel like they've been here for a long time. Everybody that comes in, you know, we don't, you know, jump on them like, you know, pounce on them, and next thing you know, they're running them out the door. But the other is dealing with internal battles, maybe. You know, they'll blend together when you think on that. You know, so that disunity's there. Any other thought along with that? Brother Charles, I think you had something.
I was going to say, yeah.
Church split. Yeah, you could have that. You know, there's been horror stories over church splits. You know, wrong color carpet. One group likes this one, the other one likes that one. I've seen, I mean, a myriad of weird things of why some people will leave. They didn't like who they chose as the deacon, so that person leaves. They didn't like that message. Pastor didn't shake my hand. All sorts of things that can create that. And it's really Satan getting in there, sowing his little seeds. And he finds our weak spots. He pushes those buttons. And again, a church that is unified, Satan's not going to get a foothold in very easily. Doesn't mean that he can't. But it's just that little things. Brother Charles.
I was going to say, even though even in this church here, we all know the love of Christ, and we do believe the doctrine and everything else, but we still like different lines of vehicles.
Oh, sure.
About foods,
oh, sure.
Kind of foods,
exactly.
But we still in unity about the main thing.
Right. And because we're individuals. That's the beauty of Christians. You know, it's wonderful that God allows us to be individuals. I hate to think what the world would be like if we're all the same. If we did exactly the same every time. Yeah, there'd be peace and unity, but why did God create us? He created every one of us as individuals. He knows what we are. He knows that finished product. We wonder what the finished product's going to be. You know, God's not finished with us yet. He's working through us. And, you know, people, if they're focusing on their individual things, and that's not wrong in itself, but when it becomes disunity, then there becomes a problem. We've had people come to visit us, and because I wear a beard, they didn't come back. How dare they allow that? Well, and I guess they wouldn't like being around Spurgeon or Tory or those people, you know. Hey, I wear a beard because my wife likes it. What's that, Lynn? Exactly. I always wondered that. Well, it's because so-and-so said it was not right. Okay, fine. You believe that? We believe this. Let's not split over the fact. But there are some people. There are some people that if you don't have a suit and tie when you're behind the pulpit, you had not to be preaching. I don't care how hot it is outside, you will wear a suit and tie. And it's just amazing the things that people will grab onto and then make it their life's deal, and then that's what they look for in their churches, rather than come into a church and look and say, the love of Christ is here. I may not fully agree with everything, but I know that Christ is ahead of that church. And if that's the goal, and they come in and they realize, hey, what I've been thinking about all along, maybe I should think differently. Or, nothing wrong with believing something different. And we're individuals. And that's the wonderful thing about God. He did create us individually. I'd love to have some of the knowledge that, Austin and Brian have on electronics and electrical things, and Brother Charlie with motors and things like that. I mean, I feel I'm very comfortable with that, but I tell you what, you give me a valve and a pump and I can fix it no matter what. I can describe whatever's there. A piping system, I'll figure it out. But, and we all learn from each other in that. The individuality makes it so that we're collective. What did we learn when we were in 1 Corinthians? That there are a lot of parts to churches, And as they went through Ephesians, there are some teachers, there are some evangelists, there are people with individual talents. So disunity suffers in a church. But when we look over to the other side, what do we see? Why does the gospel flourish in a church's when a church's members love one another? Growth would probably be one of them, but. Testimony is a big thing. When there's love there, if there's disunity, what kind of testimony does the church have? But if there's love within a church, then there's going to, you're going to see that unity. And some of the things is that, we got those type things here. But we validate the gospel before the lost. People are going to see that and say, I want that. I see how those folks are. The other is freeing the church to focus on the mission to reach the lost. Because if there's fighting in amongst them, like in the book of Revelation, it identifies the church that lost their first love. Christians should have a love or a burden for the lost. And some churches go overboard that, well, if you haven't won somebody to the Lord this week, you're not a Christian. You're not right with God. Very possible, but somebody, they put that emphasis on there that you have to be making sure that you are leading somebody to the Lord every week. Well, it's wonderful. We do lead them to the Lord. It's the Lord that gets them saved. There's some people that magnify that or major on it to the point where nothing else matters. Missions suffer. It all revolves around we have to have numbers. And I've been in those kind of churches. Let's bring in the most we can bring in. Have a salvation message. A lot of people might get saved, but they may never be there the next week. We have big numbers this week. Okay, how many more can we get this next week? And next thing you know, you're on and on and on. It's like a lot of the churches now, they want to perform for people. Maximize performance, minimize the gospel. And that gets sad when they have the disunity. When members are focusing on their efforts of working together, they become living examples of what the gospel is. And, you know, so when we think about that, the Philippians needed an accurate knowledge and insight of their relationships with one another. You know, when it, like we mentioned, knowledge and judgment. When we look at Bible doctrines, there are churches out there that just brush over them and, oh, doctrines don't, you know, let's just focus on, you know, what we like together. The next thing you know, they really aren't focusing on anything other than maybe entertainment. Maybe oh, we're going to reach the youth this way. We're going to have this kind of a program. And that's all they do is entertain. And there's a place for that. There's a time and a place that there should be special programs and things like that. But all of a sudden it becomes, okay, what can we do better next week? What can we make bigger next week? What kind of an extravaganza can we have? And there are a lot of churches that go in that direction. Is it wrong? Well, I don't know. We'll find out when we get to that judgment seat, won't we? But, you know, the Philippians might have been tempted to work with other believers solely on the base of their first impressions. How many want to work with somebody when you first meet them? Well, initially, hey, if that guy's really charismatic and he, you know, oh, I liked it. And then as you watch them, all of a sudden it's like, I don't know about that message he's got, you know. Or, hey, that guy's really got a good message and he just knows how to get it across that way. Some people are that way. They're that dynamic. And then there's others that get the message across. They may not be that dynamic. But you look and see what's his desire out there? You know, is he doing it for himself or is he doing it for the Lord? Because there are many dynamic people out there that are not really doing it for the Lord. But then there are other dynamic ones that just happen to have the right thing that the Lord uses and capitalizes on. You know, they're ones like that. And you can see that they're sincere. And you can see through many messages that way. You know, but Paul was praying that their love would abound. You know, so when you think on that, you know, what is significant about the fact that the Apostle Paul is praying for those people in whom God is evidently working, and these people are spiritually healthy Christians? You know, so what's the significance about that? So it's almost like what we have up here, but the significance the Apostle Paul is presenting is that, you know, he's praying for the conversion of the lost. And oftentimes when we think of prayer, you know, we pray for believers in times of special needs, and we oftentimes tend to discount a continued ministry of prayer for healthy lives. You know, we do. We have our prayer list, and it's really good. And oftentimes that leads us through the week, and but a lot of people oftentimes think that it's just a, well, you know, as I noted down here, prayer is not an occasional vitamin supplement, but it's a regular part of a regular balanced diet of daily spiritual nutrition. It's a good way to look at it. When we think, well, you know, I'm a little anemic, I better take a little dose of this and maybe a little dose of this, and when I start feeling better, I'll just kind of go back to what I used to do. Some people are that way when they get on a program. That's not happening right quick, so I'm just going to try something different. We've all seen that. And some people give us a, you know, hey, we got this great Bible reading program, and if you follow this, you're going to really stay spiritually focused. My problem is I, you know, tend to fall off, to be honest. But I find that I have to do regular. I have to be there. I have to set aside the time. You know, I love it when I get up. My wife gets up a lot of times before me, and I walk out there, and there she is, all curled up on the sofa, Bible's open. She's got her glass of water on the side, waiting to go. And then, yeah, regular time. Some of us have got our regular set time. Nothing happens until that time goes away. Me, it's, you know, get the coffee going, I'll go read, and then I'll get a cup of coffee and sit down. But it's daily nutrition. That's important, and we strive that. You know, and the Apostle Paul was this way. He was praying for a spiritually healthy body with the Philippians. That was his challenge. And his prayer for that, you know, that he could literally see them abound and see them change. And they did. They took care of him. They made sure that he was being that they were making sure that he was being taken care of, because he provided to them something that hadn't been presented. And that was exciting for them, you know, and to realize that they were going to grow. You know, you can go today and probably not find that specific church there anymore. And what was happening in the first century kind of dwindled over the years. But who knows? Those that went out from there developed other churches. And, you know, so they were learning discernment. That was one of the biggest things that the Apostle Paul was trying to approach. So something to think about here is, when have you reached out to someone who others might have thought was unlovable? You know, kind of something to think about. Some people like, oh man, that person is just a hard nut to crack. Or they're just not changing in how they're doing. They're not just not growing. And then, who knows? Maybe that person is growing. It's just not real evident. It's like when you plant a garden. Some seeds just don't want to germinate at the rate of others. And that's with, again, individual Christians. We all grow at the rate that God allows us to grow. Some grow faster than others. Some, when they just need a little encouragement every now and then. And that's sometimes what it comes into. You know, some people have that abrasive tendency on you, and, you know, people might shy away from them. But then when you get to find out about how they operate, next thing you know, hey, that person's pretty fun to be around. And, you know, it's just love and sound judgment as a winning team is leading us as believers in the Lord's work. And so it allows us to look at that unloved person maybe a little bit differently. And it's kind of exciting when you think about that. And then, as we look at that, we want to type more things here, but approving excellent things. And this is kind of an interesting development when you think about that. Paul prayed that the Philippians would approve things that are excellent. And verse 10 says, that they may approve things that are excellent, and that they may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. They needed harmony as they worked together. For harmony to exist, the Philippians needed to overlook the shortcomings of other believers and recognize their good points. Kind of like that last question back there. We look beyond some of the quirks, because some people do have quirks. Their relationship and cooperation needed to rest on these good things, because there are qualities that really matter. So the question I have here is, what are some consequences of letting just our feelings determine whom we will love? What's the consequences of that? Lynn?
Well, for one, that we're not even
surprised. Right.
There's no respecter of persons.
Exactly, no respecter of persons. You know, our feelings, well, you know, that person just kind of rubbed me the wrong way, so I'm not going to go spend any time with them. That's what I love about Wednesday night. Pastor's going, okay, who hasn't prayed together for a while? Or maybe he sees two people arguing in the back over something, going, I'm going to make those two pray together. No, you know, that never happens. But, you know, it's, you know, and I enjoy that Wednesday night time together. Sometimes we're praying husband and wives. Sometimes, you know, we're praying in groups of two and three, and, you know, who hasn't prayed together? And it's a joy. You know, one, if you get done a little bit early, you just kind of listen around what else is going on. It's the fervent prayer. And I would love to be able to look up and, you know, have a prayer meter or something so we can see what the level is. Brian, can we come up with kind of a center like that? Okay, we'll get on. Yeah, he needs that project like... Yeah. But you know, I could just imagine what God is thinking, though, when there's groups that do gather like that and gather around a specific set of prayer requests. And then as they get together, they just see what happens. Because sometimes people, they get long in prayer, but they're there because that's the burden that they have. And that's what the Apostle Paul's working with him on excellent things. You know, our guide for our love would be that we stand to gain from relationships. We won't love as we ought. We would limit God's work is what really happens. And it's kind of a determination of, I'd seen it before, where we're kind of tested. That we might approve things that are excellent and that may be sincere and without offense till the days of Christ. And I ran across this. It says, in Philippians, it says we approve things that are excellent is that we might see things that differ. And it's essentially that we're testing things and looking for those. And I always have fun. I've got a little ultraviolet light that's, you know, throws out a nice purple light, and it'll actually identify the young kids when they were doing their invisible ink. It would shine up like this. Well, the other thing it shows up, I can find bodily fluids, but it also detects mold. And it's amazing it's the black light is what it is. But years ago, there were people that, when they made their porcelains, sometimes when they fired it, the porcelain would crack. And some of the more unethical people would take a pearlized white wax and put it in there, and it looked just like the porcelain until you put it in the sun. When you hold it up the sun, a nice little gray line shows up. That's the other thing that black light is good for on porcelain. Since the invention of super glue, it works really nice. You can take porcelain, you can really push it together, and the crack completely disappears. Hold this up to it, and you see that where that crack is. And, you know, it's like, oh, fine piece of pottery or porcelain, and you hold it up there, and, oh, you fixed it, haven't you? You know, so, yeah. So it's kind of like sun tested. Well, with us, it's SON tested. But for them, it was sun-tested when that gray line showed up. Or if it got a little warm out there, you could just kind of see the wax melting away as the day went along. And it would show up. And they said the honest dealers would mark their perfect wares, and they call it sincera, without wax. So that they could go in there and they honestly said, there's no wax on this. And you can feel wax if you check it too. But when you hold it up to the sun, if it's got the wax there, that gray line is going to show up. And in some porcelains, there's a crazed effect that shows those little gray lines, but it's not broken through. So as Christians, we can end up being sun tested. Some people are going to watch us and see what happens, to see if we're blameless and to see if we're really what we are. And as we look at that, they couldn't perform their acts of goodness on their own power. And it's like us. Our acts of goodness, we can do acts of goodness on our own, but they're not going to be consistent. So people are going to see the insincerity of it. And when you think about that, you know, believers should love all these in God's workforce. And that's what we are. We're God's workforce. Even if they don't like loving them. And that's something to really think about. We can love somebody through Christ that we wouldn't normally love. There are a lot of people that will just see somebody. Maybe they're not dressed just right, and they're going to make it a first impression on them. Maybe they have a disability. They're going to make an initial impression on them, or an initial judgment. They might be missing the best blessing around if they don't follow through and they don't find out a little bit about them and overlook those things. That's what Paul's thankful for the Philippians. He's in prison. They overlook the fact that he's in prison. They knew he was there because he believed the gospel, and they trusted what he taught them. So they're going to carry it through. And that's with each one of us, is that we need to be sun tested. We need to see if we have wax on us or not. We need to see if every one of us has got cracks in us. Some people crack up a lot easier than others. But, you know, every one of us is different. Every one of us has got our flaw. And we need to realize that the love of Christ needs to show through us. And we be the example. And I didn't finish, so we're going to finish next week. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you again for your loving kindness. We thank you, Father, that each one of us are sun tested. Father, you cover those flaws. You see us perfect through Christ. And I am so thankful, Father, for that. Father, when we look on one another, we see the outward, but you look on the inward. And you know what's in each and everyone's heart. And Father, if there are problems in there, you can actually bring them out and get rid of them in our lives. And I thank you when we're moldable in that way, and knowing that oftentimes removing those might hurt a bit. But Father, we become more and more in the image of Christ as we walk on this earth. And one day, we will enjoy what you saw the finished product of. And we can thank you for that. We know ahead of time that you have that all planned out for us. And we want to thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.